sports professor Rick Haro, Beyond the Scoreboard, an inside look at the trillion, used to be billion, now it's trillion-dollar business of sports, deal-making, endorsements, law, politics, everything other than the X's and O's. And it's an interesting month, obviously, heading into baseball's All-Star game, Red Sox kind of buttressing votes, so are the Cubs and the White Sox on that side of it. NBA, NHL awards getting ready for the next season. Everybody's waiting for the NFL season to start. College, Olympics only a few months away. And we have a very interesting perspective. Cal Ripken's impact on baseball, but also his foundation and field development and how it's turning the business of youth development, graduation rates, etc., upside down. But that's a little later. For now, if you want the list of 15 topics to watch, look at csnne.com. Do the same thing in Chicago. And if you want to subscribe to our iTunes feed, look for us on Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and the like. First, let's take a look at some of the big issues that are happening in sports today and this week. Let's start across the pond, then we'll work our way backward. The Champions League has a rule where you're not allowing common ownership teams to play, but the UEFA will allow RB Leipzig and Red Bull Salzburg to play next season. The rules prevent multiple teams from the same ownership from playing in the Champions League, and both teams have some link to Red Bull, obviously. RB Leipzig finishes runner-up in the Bundesliga, earning them a spot in the group stage. Red Bull Salzburg won the Austrian Bundesliga, putting them second qualifying. UEFA will allow both teams to compete because the governing body's adjudicatory arm was satisfied. The clubs had fulfilled the requirements needed to allow entries for both sides. But had both teams not been allowed to play, Red Bull Salzburg would have had priority. And here's our take and why it's relevant to us. While some criticize the NFL for its stringent ownership requirements, this is precisely the situation NFL rules seek to avoid. And for the good of the sport, competition organically trumped commerce here. Good for them. Let's stay across and go way across. How about Korea? Amid escalating security concerns about South Korea, the site of the 18 Winter Games, which, by the way, 7 or 8 months away, hard to believe. NBC considering keeping its top clients in the U.S. Jackson Hole, maybe they dress it up and make it look like Korea. But other Olympic participants and sponsors may scale back as well. Jackson Hole is not official for NBC yet, but they may go to another resort. They may go to Korea after all, but they haven't decided. And Scott Blackman, the USOC CEO, commented that the USOC will have less sponsor activation in next year's Olympics than it had in prior ones. And here's my take, and it's obvious. When you're dealing with an unstable neighbor with nuclear weapons at his finger and an uncertain diplomatic climate, better safe than sorry is clearly the name of these games. But it is not all bad for the IOC. IOC and Intel finalized a $400 million deal through 2024. Intel using the deal as a platform to show off a collection of advanced technical capabilities. Drones to 5G mobile collection platforms, virtual reality. Intel plans on pulling out all the stops for the Olympics. It's about, according to them, bringing the Olympics to many, 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 many more people. Drones will be used widely at the 2018 Games, capturing footage from angles that had previously been unattainable or inaccessible. And here's my take. Using 5G mobile connection platforms will help make streaming and connectivity easier on the ground at the games and lay the groundwork for deploying this technology around the world, and obviously long overdue. How about an international expansion for a domestic organization in theory? IndyCar looking to broaden its horizon. Mark Miles, the CEO, continues his search for new international venues to add to the current slate of races. China and Mexico, two of the more recent destinations Miles looked into, with the goal of adding a race in one of those countries for 18. A recent report confirmed IndyCar believes the best bet for an international race in 2018, Mexico, discussing an event with promoters in China. The Chinese race would likely be added for 19, sticking to the plan of adding one international race annually. For domestic races, the IndyCar series usually commands a $1 or $2 million sanctioning fee, but series officials seek a higher fee for a race on foreign soil to help teams and series cover costs, obviously, with international travel. And the take is this: whether team sports or motorsports, a global footprint remains the blueprint. And obviously, for New England and otherwise, IndyCar means another form of racing that is obviously successful and growing and helps everybody. Let's take a look at some of the other issues that are involved beyond just international. How about the international, but with a charity perspective? Ahead of Wimbledon, world number one Andy Murray giving his prize money from the Queen's Club Championship to the families of the Grenfell Tower fire. He'll hand over his check to the dozens of families who lost everything in one of Britain's worst peacetime fires. 79 people known to have perished. As admirable as this is for Murray, it's not the first time he's used his tournament winnings as a philanthropic platform. 4 years ago, he donated his winnings from Queens to Royal Marsden Hospital, where his friend Ross Hutchings was being treated for cancer. Other athletes with ties to London and Britain have also pledged to assist the victims. Manchester City midfielder Raheem Sterling promised to give a substantial sum, and Arsenal defender Hector Bellerin plans on donating $63 for every minute he plays at the Euro U21 Championship. The take is this. Internationally, as we saw during Hurricane Katrina here and the devastating 2010 Haitian earthquake, for example, sport continually rises to meet global crises needs. Can anyone say Boston strong? It's pretty obvious. Let's look at the courts for a minute. Recent Supreme Court ruling could ultimately aid the Washington Redskins. Supreme Court ruled that offensive brand names should be allowed to receive federal trademarks. The case at hand involved Simon Tam, an Asian American musician and political activist, who named his band the Slants, an attempt to take back a term that was once derogatory. Tam sought to register the name with the U.S. Trademark Office, and the Redskins, along with other Native American sports-related mascots, have been at the forefront of debates for years now about the ethicality of the team's logo and the minority group it represents. Lisa Blatt, the team attorney, said the franchise is thrilled about Tam's court ruling. And my take from a legal perspective is that the ruling in favor of the Slants ultimately begins to resolve the team's longstanding run-in with the government, if not with the naysayers. Clearly not with the naysayers. Hey, how about sports in the courts, volume 2? This one may affect you more than anything else. The FTC made its point clear. It does not want the proposed DraftKings-FanDuel merger to go through. The FTC released a written complaint outlining its strong rejection of a central argument made by the two daily fantasy sports companies. DraftKings and FanDuel argue they're a subset of a much larger and still growing fantasy sports business. While the FTC rebuts that the immediate choice to win money is what keeps daily fantasy sports going, with social interaction fueling season-long fantasy sports competitions. Also, the FTC argues that if the merger did go through, it would essentially monopolize the industry, producing concentration levels well beyond what's necessary to establish a presumption of competitive harm. Legal mumbo-jumbo, to be sure, but the take is this. Both DraftKings and FanDuel suffered heavy financial losses over the past year due to strict regulations on gambling in certain states, and the FTC was not swayed by that. Short term, what you might see in the future is money taken away from signage, from sponsorship, and obviously those obnoxious ads a few years ago. Let's shift to the NBA. Philly trusts the process. Time has come once again for the team to shine, according to Philly fans. 5,000 tickets were claimed for an outdoor draft watch party to see Washington point guard Markelle Fultz drafted overall by the hometown team. Momentum building in the city ever since the team traded with the Celtics, but the Celtics, by the way, got Tatum, so who knows what's going to happen. 14,000 season tickets sold for the upcoming season sets a new franchise record, and the Sixers also lead the NBA in new full season ticket packages. After having the top draft pick back-to-back in these years, the Sixers expect to sell out all of their home games this season. The hype is real, but the team needs results on the court. Well, yeah, and the take is this. Sixers CEO Scott O'Neill slowly built trust in his 4 years helming the franchise, and his vision and hard work, hopefully for them anyway, beginning to pay off. Stick around the NBA for extra revenue. The Orlando Magic partnered up with Walt Disney World as part of a deal that will go beyond just a jersey patch. Disney will have an expanded presence at the Amway Center, special seating and hospitality area that may be used for the annual pass holder upgrades during select Magic games. Magic CEO Alex Martins hopes to gain an additional international exposure. And meanwhile, in Minnesota, the Timberwolves announced a deal with San Francisco-based Fitbit. The T-Wolves previously been in talks with local and Chinese companies about a potential jersey sponsorship, but ultimately decided on this partnership because the franchise is taking a fresh look at technology and innovation during a summer of change and rebranding. And when you take a look at the numbers, it's not just the numbers as far as long-term deals that were done over time. The Sixers and StubHub make a first commitment on all of this. $5 million annually with StubHub. All of these deals are three-year deals, and the Kings at 3 years with Blue Diamond Almonds, the Celtics 3 years, $8 million with General Electric, the Brooklyn Nets 3 years, $8 million annually with Infor. That Celtics deal with General Electric looks pretty darn good. Cavaliers, 3 years, $5 to $10 million annually with Goodyear Tire and Rubber, a hometown deal with LeBron James. Utah Jazz, 3 year, $4 million with Qualtrics. The bottom line is this. The NBA jersey patch deals continue to grow, all in the wake of the 76ers' bold groundbreaking deal with StubHub last year. There's Leading Edge, then there's all the rest. And that's the way these deals are coming down. How about the bottom line as far as overall national and international development? Well, there's an interesting issue in Vegas before we get into other baseball issues. New UNLV athletic director Desiree Hunt Francois, Reed Francois, is taking a bold first step to show her commitment to her new job. She's living in campus dorms rather than a hotel or apartment before she moves into a permanent residence. Her bottom line is interesting. She's got to overcome a $5 million deficit, and with the heightened focus on Vegas sports as the Golden Knights and Raiders come to town, Reed Francois is very committed to talking about how to deal with the Golden Knights and Raiders presence, which most people would say increase across-the-board spending in Sin City. Meanwhile, with the Raiders planning to leave in the next few years, the A's ramping up their search for a new stadium in Oakland. Recent economic analysis projects that baseball park in the area would be a big boon for Oakland, and they've only broken the 2 million attendance mark once in the last 10 years. The economic analysis, solely based on what a facility would generate, Coliseum replacement definitely bring in more fans, but attendance numbers still pale in comparison to other teams around the league. The projections based on an estimate of 2.5 million in the ballpark's first year, 2.4 million through the first 10. The Dodgers, remember, led the MLB in attendance last year with over 3.7 million. A's in last place with a marker of 1.5 million. Clearly, they have a lot of ground to make up, but a new ballpark, as history has told us, will benefit the franchise every bit as much as the host city. Well, then finally, and something that's relevant to our interview today, this last weekend at the 2017 U.S. Conference of Mayors in Miami, the Mayor's Professional Sports Alliance Committee continued to be a trend spotter and trendsetter at the intersection of sports and governance. It, chaired by outgoing U.S. Conference of Mayors President Mick Cornett, it focused as a vehicle for women's empowerment, a discussion led by LPGA Commissioner Mike Wan, what sports trends mean for city-specific initiatives, led by Nielsen Sports SVP Stephen Master, and an in-depth examination of new partnerships between Fields and Futures, we talked about that before, in Mick Cornett's Oklahoma City backyard, the mayor, Delaware Life, Dan Towers, the person who put this all together as far as $1.5 million sponsorship and a awareness plan to generate that over time, and the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. I was proud to be a leader of this presentation as well as a lifelong participant with a front row seat to many, many sports-centric initiatives it supported around the U.S. It's only getting better, and the Ripken Foundation has been a significant part of that. By the way, the key to fields and futures and economic impact and graduation is this. At the conference, the folks who structured the studies about it said that when they play, they stay. The Oklahoma City Dollars in the empirical study talked about graduation rates, 2.9 for a student-athlete versus 2.6 for a non-athlete, and better path to graduation. 99% of student-athletes graduated, 81% of non-athletes. It's pretty darn clear. So kudos to Dan Towers, Mayor Cornett, Oklahoma City, the completion of the fields, and the national awareness plan that's about to be unfolded. And by the way, for the past 16 years, the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation has worked to implement youth development programs that directly address the problem facing at-risk youth in distressed communities around the country. The Ripkens created the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation to honor his legacy of the family patriarch, longtime coach, and mentor, Cal Ripken Sr. And the Ripken Foundation uses sports-themed programs to bring police officers, youth partners, and undeserved kids aged 9 to 14 together on a level playing field to learn valuable life skills. And in addition, the Ripken Foundation's Youth Development Partnership Initiative creates these clean and safe places for kids to play on multi-purpose synthetic surface fields that promote healthy living in an outdoor recreational facility. In just 6 years, the Ripken Foundation created 65 completed parks across the country, 20 states, impacting 280,000 kids annually. 2016, it impacted over 1.2 million kids nationwide through the Youth Development Program, Youth Development Park, and mentor programs. It is a big deal. Steve Salem is the president of the foundation and basically the captain of this ship all around the country. Steve has a lot to say. He talked at the Oklahoma City announcement of Fields and Futures. And here is the deal. Steve Salem. Inside the boardroom, beyond the scoreboard, business of sports, trillion-dollar sports business, and in many ways it revolves around some of those key industry leaders who have the right business acumen, but also the ability to do the right thing. We have one here, the representative, really, the top guy, Cal Ripken's glorious career, Ironman, Hall of Fame, but he does so much more than that. The Ripken Foundation, rather than me waxing eloquent on it or trying to wax eloquent, Steve Salem, its president. How are you, Steve?
Fine, thanks. Good. It's good to be here.
Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the Ripken Foundation, just an elevator speech, and it's a long elevator ride, so give us an idea of what the foundation does.
So what we are doing is literally in all 50 states trying to provide opportunities. We use baseball as a hook, but it really is just a hook. Provide opportunities to kids who have been left behind, at-risk kids, distressed communities, using baseball to provide them with a platform to move forward in life in a positive way.
There are a lot of people whose foundation mandate is similar to that. The difference is Cal has scaled it to the point of unbelievable national success. How special is Cal Ripken to work with?
He's incredible. Nobody cares more about these kids than Cal and his brother Bill. They are 100% committed to, beyond their baseball careers, making a difference in the lives of these kids, and that's what they want as their legacy. They don't want to be remembered for what they did on the field. They want to be remembered for what they did off the field.
Give us an example of your kind of core business facility. Perfect World, mixture of fields, education. We understand that there is a STEM training involvement as well, female empowerment. You do it all.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things. We really are broken down into two primary areas. First, we build what we call youth development parks, which are synthetic turf, million-dollar-plus parks in the toughest neighborhoods in America, so that the kids who reside there have the same opportunities to play and play anything that our kids have. These kids, you go into a tough inner city neighborhood. First of all, if you end up there, you're probably lost. You're not going there intentionally. But when you do go there, you don't see the kids. It's not that they don't live there. It's not safe for these kids to be outside. You'll see the drug dealers. You'll see the gang members. You'll see some things going on that nobody wants to see. But you don't see kids playing. And that's what we're trying to provide first, a place for these kids to play whatever it is they want to play. Now, these parks happen to be state-of-the-art, spectacular places, so that no matter where these kids go in life, they'll never see a nicer park. And if they want to play competitive sports, now they have the opportunity. If they just want to go for a walk and play kickball with their friends, now they have that opportunity. And then the second thing we do is we have a group of programs like the ones you mentioned, STEM. We're putting STEM centers in inner city schools. We have a program called GREAT, which is to empower young women. We've got a program called Badges for Baseball. And think about this, knowing what's going on across America these days. We're going to the toughest neighborhoods, the same neighborhoods where these police officers and kids are killing each other and where the rioting's taking place. And we're providing them with what they need to play baseball together. And the police officers become the coach. And the kids, we're talking about middle school age kids primarily. And so now these kids look at the police officer instead of the bad guy. He's the coach. And think about who in your life you didn't want to disappoint when you were a kid. It's the coach. And think about whose life lessons you think about today, 50 years later, if it's not your dad and your mom, it's your coach. And so we're changing that, we're changing the dynamic of these communities and the trajectory of these kids' lives.
You get into a community, Cal Ripken's name, obviously very important, but it doesn't close the deal. It gets the door open. What's the kind of chronology? Is it the mayor? Is it an appropriate public-private partnership? Do you deal with groups like the Police Athletic League and other community support organizations, or is it all of that?
It's all of that. It varies community to community. What we're looking for in any community, big or small, are people who care first about the kids. It's not about Cal. We don't have an ego. We don't care if anybody ever knows we were involved. We're just trying to help these kids, and we're looking for like-minded people. And sometimes it's the mayor, sometimes it's the local police athletic league, sometimes it's the Boys and Girls Club, sometimes it's a successful, wealthy individual who is at a point in his life where it's time to give back. We hope it's all four of those and more, because that's when the program works the best. But we're looking for people who care and who have the ability to help generate resources so that we can bring them to these kids.
You have a, and this is a business show, so you have a scalable business, basically. Give me an idea of the numbers, your organization itself and your goals and aspirations, and how many projects do you want to do in a certain period of time?
Right. So we 12 years ago, we were basically a $1 million organization. Today, we have an annual fundraising goal of $35 million, which we will hit. We have built 65 youth development parks across the country. And doing the math, it's at least $1 million apiece. Some of them were multi-million-dollar projects. We invest about half of the resources to bring those projects to bear, and the local community brings the other half. Our goal by 2020 is to have 150 of these parks. 12 years ago, we were serving or impacting about 25,000 kids, primarily through local baseball clinics. Today, this year, we'll impact over 1.2 million kids. Our goal is to get to 2 million kids per year by 2020. So it's been a fun ride. It's a little bit overwhelming, but Cal's name carries a lot of clout when you go into these communities, but it's his passion and his commitment. You know, he puts his money where his mouth is. There's no bullshit. I don't know if I can say that.
Well, you did. Not a problem. We realize your intensity.
I mean, he really passionately cares, and it's contagious.
And you could tell the BS prohibition doesn't stop at Cal. I mean, you are a guy who puts your money where your mouth is as well. Steve Salem, your background, Boys and Girls Clubs, but you come out of the nonprofit business as well, right?
Absolutely. I actually did a short stint with the New York Yankees out of law school.
Well, they're not a nonprofit business.
They're not, definitely not a nonprofit. And then went to Boys and Girls Clubs of America for 15 years. ended as the vice president of government relations there, running the government relations office, and then went over at the request of Cal and Bill to the Ripken Foundation.
It's an interesting experience. Can you give us some sense of the similarities and differences, probably more similarities, between running a mid-level corporation versus the nonprofit that you're running today?
Well, to me, my philosophy is there's no difference. You need a product that people want to invest in. You need to keep your word, do what you say you're going to do. You need to generate interest and excitement. The challenge that we have in the nonprofit world that maybe you don't have in the for-profit world is we don't really have a product to sell. We're selling the heartstrings. But in every other way, we have built and continue to build our business the same way we would build a for-profit company, and it's working.
You're in a city, obviously, you succeed at an alarming successful rate. But what are some of the one biggest challenge you have when you're in a community to be able to pull a deal off?
It's changed over time. Originally, the biggest challenge was, well, Ripken, that's Baltimore. We're in Oklahoma City. What do we care about Baltimore? That's changed as our work reputation has gotten out there, as the word has spread. I think the biggest challenge is finding, you're going into some really, really tough neighborhoods. I mean, the worst of the worst in many cases. And it's very hard to find a sustainable existing program because that's what we need to partner with. And in some cases, it's just not there. And it's very hard. But once we go in and we say we're coming, we do not turn back. So that's probably our biggest challenge.
Have you seen the economy directly affect you positively or negatively as you go forward? Is it sunny skies ahead, or do we have issues? Where are your concern?
When the economy crashed in 2009, I think, it hit all of us, And if you were able to stay flat, you were very successful. And we actually grew a little bit through that period of time. So we've been very fortunate for a number of reasons, including having the founder that we have. But it's always a challenge in this business. No matter how successful you are completely dependent on the generosity of others. And so it's not just whether your fortunes change, what about their fortunes? And so it's all, no matter what, that's where you lose your sleep.
The Ripken brand, as you said, began with a Baltimore regional Hall of Fame, clearly national baseball-wise, but a regional brand. Now it's national, and you're taking this concept beyond baseball?
Well, we don't. I mean, baseball's our hook, of course. It's our shtick because of the name.
Right.
But baseball is not, we're not limited to baseball in any way. We don't care if these kids know how to play baseball. We don't care if they're very interested in baseball. We're trying to get them active. Huge, huge problems in inner city communities today is obesity, juvenile diabetes, and the lack of nutrition. When these kids are, and this is what we're dealing with. When one of these kids is hungry, they take a dollar, they go buy a Coca-Cola, and they chug it because it gives you that fake fill sensation. So that's their meal. So many of these kids tell us that the only reason they go to school during the day is because they're hungry and they know they can get a meal at lunchtime. So you're talking about issues and challenges that are very hard for us to relate to, having not come up in that community. These kids are being raised by their great-great-grandmothers. They don't know who the father is in many cases. The mother and grandmother are not around because they're on the street. And it's their great-great-grandmother. And that's no exaggeration. And the great-great-grandmother, think about this, is 55 years old.
Yeah. What do you say to the Charles Barkley's of the world? He'd probably recant the statement right now if he had a chance. But that athletes are not role models and they have no obligation to give back.
Well, I disagree with this statement that they're not role models. Whether or not they have an obligation to give back is for someone else to decide. I mean, I don't judge people like that, but they are role models. whether they like it or not, because that's who these kids are watching and who they're imitating and who they want to be like. And so I do think we all have an obligation, because we're all role models to these kids, to do the right thing, do what we say we're going to do. And that's what we try and teach the kids in our programs.
How do you and Cal feel when you're about to watch the first game played in a new facility that you've just caused to be open?
It is the most overwhelmingly wonderful feeling you can imagine to see these kids come on to it's their field. We build these million-dollar fields, and we give it to the community. It's theirs, not ours. They own it. And what we often do is we'll put a ribbon out, and instead of the mayor, you know, and the people with all the money cutting the ribbon, we'll have the kids run through the ribbon. And so, you know, picture going into West Baltimore where the rioting takes place, and we're building two parks there. We've already built two there now since the rioting. Picture those kids, the younger brothers of the kids and sisters that you saw rioting on TV, lined up, so excited, cannot wait for the chaperones to say, go. And these kids come running out, and they run through the ribbon on this lush green. You know, the synthetic turf is beautiful green, or whatever color you want, by the way. You can have purple, too. We have a purple one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's overwhelming.
Cal Ripken's vision, Steve Salem, is in very good hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Well, we'd like to thank Steve Salem for talking about the Ripken perspective and the fields and futures all over the country. Look for the power of sports and the significant impact of fields and futures in Oklahoma City and nationally. We'd like to thank you all and subscribing to our iTunes feed, Stitcher, Google Play, and Audioboom. And if you want to see all of these topics, CNNNE.com and the same thing in Chicago, and join us next week for other big issues as we go beyond the scoreboard.